Chapter 45. The ship is lying here in the harbor of Naples, quarantined. S.E. has been here several days, and will remain several more. We that came by rail from Rome have escaped this misfortune. Of course no one is allowed to go on board the ship, or come ashore from her. She is a prison now. The passengers probably spend the long, blazing days looking out from under the awnings at Vesuvius, and the beautiful city and in swearing. Think of 10 days of this sort of pastime. We go out every day in a boat, and request them to come ashore. It soothes them. We lie 10 steps from the ship, and tell them how splendid the city is, and how much better the hotel fare is here than anywhere else in Europe, and how cool it is, and what frozen continents of ice cream there are, and what a time we are having cavorting about the country and sailing to the islands in the bay. This tranquilizes them. Ascent of Vesuvius. I shall remember our trip to Vesuvius for many a day, partly because of its sightseeing experiences, but chiefly on account of the fatigue of the journey. 2 or 3 of us had been resting ourselves among the tranquil and beautiful scenery of the island of Ischia, 18 miles out in the harbor, for 2 days. We called it esting, but I do not remember now what the resting consisted of, for when we got back to Naples we had not slept for 48 hours. We were just about to go to bed early in the evening and catch up on some of the sleep we had lost when we heard of this Vesuvius expedition. There was to be 8 of us in the party, and we were to leave Naples at midnight. We laid in some provisions for the trip, engaged carriages to take us to Annunciation, and then moved about the city, to keep awake, till 12. We got away punctually, and in the course of an hour and a half arrived at the town of Annunciation. Annunciation is the very last place under the sun. In other towns in Italy the people lie around quietly, and wait for you to ask them a question, or do some overt act that can be charged for, but in Annunciation they have lost even that fragment of delicacy. They seize a lady's shawl from a chair, and hand it to her, and charge a penny. They open a carriage door, and charge for it, shut it when you get out, and charge for it. They help you to take off a duster, 2 cents. Brush your clothes, and make them worse than they were before, 2 cents. Smile upon you, 2 cents. Bow, with a lick spittle smirk, hat in hand, 2 cents. They volunteer all information, such as that the mules will arrive presently, 2 cents, warm day, sir, 2 cents, take you 4 hours, to make the ascent, 2 cents. And so they go. They crowd you, infest you, swarm about you, and sweat and smell offensively, and look sneaking and mean, and obsequious. There is no office too degrading for them to perform, for money. I have had no opportunity to find out anything about the upper classes by my own observation, but from what I hear said about them, I judge that what they lack in 1 or 2 of the bad traits the canaille have, they make up in 1 or 2 others that are worse. How the people beg! Many of them very well dressed too. I said I knew nothing against the upper classes by personal observation. I must recall it. I had forgotten. What I saw their bravest and their fairest do last night, the lowest multitude that could be scraped up out of the purlieus of Christendom would blush to do, I think. They assembled by hundreds, and even thousands, in the great theater of San Carlo, to do what? Why, simply, to make fun of an old woman, to deride, to hiss, to jeer at an actress they once worshipped, but whose beauty is faded now, and whose voice has lost its former richness. Everybody spoke of the rare sport there was to be. They said the theater would be crammed, because Fresilini was going to sing. It was said she could not sing well now, but then the people liked to see her, anyhow. And so we went. And every time the woman sang they hissed and laughed the whole magnificent house, and as soon as she left the stage they called her on again with applause. Once or twice she was encored 5 and 6 times in succession, and received with hisses when she appeared, and discharged with hisses and laughter, when as he had finished then instantly encored and insulted again. And how the high-born knaves enjoyed it! White-kitted gentlemen and ladies laughed till the tears came, and clapped their hands in very ecstasy, when that unhappy old woman would come meekly out for the sixth time, with uncomplaining patience, to meet a storm of hisses. It was the cruelest exhibition, the most wanton, the most unfeeling. The singer would have conquered an audience of American rowdies by her brave, unflinching tranquility, for she answered encore after encore, and smiled and bowed pleasantly, and sang the best she possibly could, and went bowing off, through all the jeers and hisses, without ever losing countenance or temper. And surely in any other land than Italy her sex, and her helplessness must have been an ample protection to her, she could have needed no other. Think what a multitude of small souls were crowded into that theater last night. If the manager could have filled his theater with Neapolitan souls alone, without the bodies, he could not have cleared less than 90 millions of dollars. What traits of character must a man have to enable him to help 3,000 miscreants to hiss, and jeer, and laugh at one friendless old woman, and shamefully humiliate her? He must have all the vile, mean traits there are. My observation persuades me, I do not like to venture beyond my own personal observation, that the upper classes of Naples possess those traits of character. Otherwise they may be very good people, I cannot say. Ascent of Vesuvius continued. In the city of Naples, they believe in and support one of the wretchedest of all the religious impostures one can find in Italy, the miraculous liquefaction of the blood of St. Januarius. Twice a year the priests assemble all the people at the cathedral, and get out this vial of clotted blood, and let them see it slowly dissolve, and become liquid, and every day for 8 days, this dismal farce is repeated, while the priests go among the crowd, and collect money for the exhibition. The first day, the blood liquefies in 47 minutes, the church is crammed then, and time must be allowed the collectors to get around. After that it liquefies a little quicker, and a little quicker, every day, as the houses grow smaller, till on the eighth day, with only a few dozens present to see the miracle, it liquefies in 4 minutes. And here, also, they used to have a grand procession of priests, citizens, soldiers, sailors, and the high dignitaries of the city government, once a year, to shave the head of a made-up Madonna, a stuffed and painted image, like a milliner's dummy whose hair miraculously grew and restored itself every 12 months. They still kept up this shaving procession as late as 4 or 5 years ago. It was a source of great profit to the church, that possessed the remarkable effigy, and the ceremony of the public barbering of her was always carried out with the greatest possible eclat, and display the more the better, because the more excitement there was about it the larger the crowds it drew, and the heavier the revenues it produced. But at last a day came when the Pope and his servants were unpopular in Naples, and the city government stopped the Madonna's annual show. There we have two specimens of these Neapolitans, two of the silliest possible frauds, which half the population religiously and faithfully believed, and the other half either believed also or else said nothing about, and thus lent themselves to the support of the imposture. I am very well satisfied to think the whole population believed in those poor, cheap miracles, a people who want 2 cents every time they bow to you, and who abuse a woman, are capable of it, I think. Ascent of Vesuvius continued. These Neapolitans always ask 4 times as much money as they intend to take, but if you give them what they first demand, they feel ashamed of themselves for aiming so low, and immediately ask more. When money is to be paid and received, there is always some vehement jawing and gesticulating about it. One cannot buy and pay for 2 cents worth of clams without trouble and a quarrel. 1 horse, in a 2-horse carriage, costs a franc, that is law, but the hackman always demands more, on some pretense or other, and if he gets it, he makes a new demand. It is said that a stranger took a 1-horse carriage for a course tariff, half a franc. He gave the man 5 francs, by way of experiment. He demanded more, and received another franc. Again he demanded more, and got a franc, demanded more, and it was refused. He grew vehement, was again refused, and became noisy. The stranger said, "Well, give me the 7 francs again, and I will see what I can do." And when he got them, he handed the hackman half a franc, and he immediately asked for 2 cents, to buy a drink with. It may be thought that I am prejudiced. Perhaps I am. I would be ashamed of myself if I were not. Ascent of Vesuvius continued. Well, as I was saying, we got our mules and horses, after an hour and a half of bargaining with the population of Annunciation, and started sleepily up the mountain, with a vagrant at each mule's tail who pretended to be driving the brute along, but was really holding on, and getting himself dragged up instead. I made slow headway at first, but I began to get dissatisfied at the idea of paying my minion 5 francs, to hold my mule back by the tail, and keep him from going up the hill, and so I discharged him. I got along faster then. We had one magnificent picture of Naples from a high point on the mountainside. We saw nothing but the gas lamps, of course, 2/3 of a circle, skirting the great bay, a necklace of diamonds glinting up through the darkness from the remote distance, less brilliant than the stars overhead, but more softly, richly beautiful, and over all the great city the lights crossed, and recrossed each other in many and many a sparkling line and curve. And back of the town, far around and abroad over the miles of level Campagna, were scattered rows, and circles, and clusters of lights, all glowing like so many gems, and marking where a score of villages were sleeping. About this time, the fellow who was hanging onto the tail of the horse in front of me, and practicing all sorts of unnecessary cruelty upon the animal, got kicked some 14 rods, and this incident, together with the fairy spectacle of the lights far in the distance, made me serenely happy, and I was glad I started to Vesuvius. Ascent of Mount Vesuvius continued. This subject will be excellent matter for a chapter, and tomorrow or next day I will write it. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.